with the Environment in Focus. I'm Tom Pelton. In a remote valley in the Appalachian Mountains, as the setting sun lit the tops of sycamore trees with gold light, Keith Eshelman strode down a ragged logging road past yellow and white wildflowers to his workplace. Eshelman is a water quality scientist at the University of Maryland Center for Environmental Sciences lab in Frostburg. He stepped on mossy rocks through a stream called Black Lick. He finally stopped beside a box-like device that measures the stream's water quality. It was here, nearly 200 miles from the Chesapeake Bay, that Eshelman made a discovery that turned the bay upside down. Over 2 decades of monitoring this and other streams that flow into the Potomac River, Eshelman found that levels of nitrogen, the main pollutant that fertilizes algal blooms and dead zones in the bay, plummeted by as much as 70% in forested streams from 1995 to 2010.
It was a complete shock. You know, when we do things in hydrology and water quality, we expect to see 1 or 2 or 5 or maybe 10% improvement or maybe 10% declines and things. Those are pretty big numbers. So when we see something like a 60 to 50 to 70% reduction, something of that magnitude, it's absolutely totally surprising.
The combined effect from the drop in pollution in all these streams was a boost to the health of the Chesapeake. This was surprising, in part because the conventional wisdom was that wooded creeks like this had some nitrates in them, but that they were naturally occurring from the decomposition of leaves caused by bacteria in the soil. Eshelman deduced that the huge changes in nitrates must have come not from the land, because the forests surrounding the streams had not changed.
That, oh my gosh, something's going on here that we really can't explain.
Instead, the water was being cleaned by the sky. Eshelman figured out that the bulk of the nitrates in the soil and stream were not natural, but had been carried by the wind from the smokestacks of coal-fired power plants in the Midwest, as well as from the tailpipes of cars and trucks. Together, about a third of the nitrogen pollution in the bay is from air pollution. As it turned out, back in 1990, an amendment to the Federal Clean Air Act, signed by President George H.W. Bush to improve human health by requiring filtration systems on coal plants, had the unintended consequence of also reducing water pollution in the Chesapeake Bay. Also helpful were additional air regulations imposed by President Obama on power plants and vehicles, as well as a shift from coal generation to natural gas, which became cheaper with the advent of hydraulic fracturing.
If there's one kind of interesting irony to this entire story, it's that it took air quality regulation to improve water quality. Now think about that. So you think about the ultimate irony. Water quality regulation is what should be working. And frankly, it appears, at least to us, if you believe the story that we're trying to tell here and the data that we're sharing, that it was really the air quality component that worked and not the water quality side of the house.
Things in the bay are not what they seem. Upgrades to sewage treatment plants have been working to help clean the Chesapeake. But more than a decade of voluntary efforts to convince farmers to plant trees along streams and control runoff pollution in other ways on the land have not been as effective as attacking what's falling from the sky. With the Environment in Focus, I'm Tom Pelton of the Environmental Integrity Project, sponsored by the Able Foundation. This program is independently owned, and the views expressed are solely my own. Skyfall is where we start.